Have you ever had a coworker who just refused to be happy? A type will complain and complain, yet when things are fixed, they just find more to complain about. Yeah, that's who we're talking about today on Office Horror Stories.
Welcome to the world of crazy workplaces, Office Horror Stories.
Have a crazy workplace story to share? Call in toll-free.
1-833-HATE-JOB.
1-833-HATE-JOB.
Or write in at officehorrorstories.com. This is Office Horror Stories.
That it is. And 833-HATE-JOB, the phone number to call in your Office Horror Story. Or just write it in. Go to our website, officehorrorstories.com. And send it to us. Love to hear it. Your stories are what fuels this program. Keeps it on the air because, we need your stories. Otherwise, you don't have a show. So please do share it with us at officehorrorstories.com. Can be a new story, can be an old story. Completely anonymous is what we're looking for. Just let it out. We'd love to hear it. Tony and Sean joining you today. And what's new in your world?
Well, just enjoying some lukewarm coffee. Thank you for asking.
Isn't that delicious? Don't you love offices that have lukewarm coffee?
It's interesting because I came across a blog, very 2007 term. The title of the blog, Am I a Weirdo or Does Anyone Else Prefer Lukewarm Black Coffee to Hot Black Coffee? You're not a weirdo, sir. I, too, prefer lukewarm over scalding hot, burn tongue and top of mouth coffee.
Well, scalding hot is one thing where it's going to, like, kill you. But, like, lukewarm to me is bordering on cold. Maybe we have different, maybe it's our definitions of what we consider to be lukewarm. It's still warm, but it's not, like, bordering on cold.
It's that's why, and you can attest to this as a father. That's why they invented the machine where you put the baby bottle in it and it heats it up to the correct temperature. Because I believe lukewarm, in air quotes, it's a very relative term.
Yeah,
much like someone taking a shower, they enjoy scalding hot water. Maybe not so much. You go get your hair cut when they wash your hair, and the hairstylist's like, "Oh, is this too hot?" Mm-hmm. I mean, literally, it could burn your scalp or. Hey, warm it up. So with that being said, and specifically on the coffee front, if you are savoring it on a Sunday morning out on your patio, looking off into the mountains as a bald eagle flies over, that's one thing. But if you're using it more so for fuel to get you energized and excited to talk about shitty coworkers, then I prefer lukewarm over hot.
Yeah, there you go. I like either hot, but not burning of the tongue. Or cold with ice. Like the middle ground, it's like one or the other with me. There's no gray area with coffee. It's either cold with ice and a lot of cream and probably some flavor or the hot. That's
you appreciate a little coffee with your cream and sugar and ice.
I do. Do you put cream and sugar?
No.
Just black?
I am very boring and apparently 91 years old. I enjoy my coffee black.
You also sit on your porch with a shotgun daily, yelling at those damn kids. 833-HATE-JOB is our phone number at Office Horror Stories, or like I said, write in at officehorrorstories.com. Let's go to our first letter. It says, I don't know what it is about my workplace, but we always seem to end up with the crazies. Our workplace is small and usually has me and my manager there. And then there's the owner who comes and does some work occasionally. We were looking for someone to join our team, and we thought we found a great guy. We'll call him L. Initially, he seemed a little weird, but that was okay. He was so bad at this job, we literally had to show him how to do things multiple times. He'd get in the hang of it, and half an hour later, he'd be doing something completely opposite to what we had taught him. After a few weeks of constantly having to tell him he was doing it wrong and showing him the right way to do things, he had a big tantrum and just stopped talking to us. He literally did not say one single word to us. So my manager texts him one night asking if everything was all right because he was so quiet lately. He responded saying that we were scrutinizing him and that it wasn't fair that he was getting picked on. Keep in mind if he was a man around the age of 50. He also said that there was so much more he wanted to say, but he would just make the situation worse. There was a guy that came in to help us occasionally, and L had to work with him for the day. By the end of the day, the guy we knew came up to me and told me that L had called me and my manager bitches, and that he hated the manager. In saying this, I don't know why he chose to hate my manager, when in reality, after L's little tantrum, I hadn't even attempted to be nice to him anymore. Really, if he was going to hate anyone, it should have been me. The silent treatment to us went on for about 2 weeks, when one day he comes in full of smiles and all happy and being overly nice. At this point, we knew he was the biggest fake, and we knew he didn't like us. He used to slam stuff down on the desk and sigh really loudly all the time just to try and get a reaction out of us. One day I ended up losing my shit at him, complaining about a radio station all day long after we had already told him that morning that he could change the station if he wanted to, but no, he just bitched about it for hours. My manager doesn't like confrontation in the workplace, but after I lost my shit, she came up to me and told me that if I didn't do it when I did, then she was going to. He also tried complaining to our boss about him. We've worked here for years, and our boss loves us, so you can imagine how that would have gone. He didn't realize that it was actually up to me and my manager who get to stay at the job, because we're the ones that had to work with the new people all day. We tried to let it go and keep him on, but got to the point where there was just the most awkward atmosphere every day. So we ran out of work for L. On his last day, he didn't speak to us and didn't even wave goodbye, even though we did. I never saw him again after that, and I am so glad. Sometimes you just have that, the folks that just can never quite be happy, but I think a lot of times they don't realize they put themselves into their own situation of chaos.
I agree. It is a situation where sometimes that is not vibing for whatever reason. And I think mutual respect is a big deal. You got to have that from the get-go. And some personalities, they just, if they don't mesh, you are bound for failure, whether it's the next Thursday or years down the road.
Yeah. Well, especially when it comes to some technology stuff too. And I totally understand how, you know, as you get to different generations, what their comfort level naturally is with the technology. A lot of it has to do with what you were surrounded with growing up, what was normal. Sometimes, though, however, if you'd like to stay functional in your workplace and not be constantly frustrated and frustrating everyone around you, you're going to have to maybe educate yourself a little bit more on what is needed to essentially function in a workplace. Just having the attitude of, well, what I know is good enough and it's worked forever, so I'm going to stay that way. I know so many people that are like that. And it's like, okay, this is not even a, and then they get mad because other people are being rude to them, or that's how they perceive it. When they're really just frustrated because they didn't take the time to try and learn what is required for that job. It's not like, fuck you, you're old. It's you just, if this program is necessary to function in the environment in which you're employed, then you have to learn how to do it. It would be the same if, well, you need to understand how these policies work on something that wasn't technology related. You have to go and learn how those policy works and how those systems function if you're going to stay on your job. It just happens a lot of it is now on a computer. And I see so much of that where it's just, oh my God, they're being so bitchy to me, or they're not patient with me at all. It's like, well, I'm sorry, you've had 8 years to learn this.
Oh, that was on Facebook. I don't do Facebook. Can you just email it to me? Can you just mail it to me?
And I understand it. I'm starting to feel some of these things and see some of these things just as we're getting older. Especially with social media platforms, and there's God knows how many of them now. And some I have to weigh and I have to go, okay, is this going to be important or vital to my business or beneficial to it? And if it is, no matter how dumb I think it is, no matter how stupid I think it is and how it functions, if it is what it is and people are using it, and if I want to stay relevant and have a presence, I better damn well learn how to use it. And if I don't, then it's on me. And I can't be frustrated when somebody comes up to me and says, hey, I'm going to communicate with you this way, or I'm going to send you this through that. And I'm like, what? What the fuck? No, then it's my fault for not taking the time, because it's become such a relevant thing in the ecosystem of what I do. If it's something that doesn't matter, then yeah, you can be as ignorant as you want on it. But you can't keep the attitude forever of, I'm not going to ever learn how to use email or the internet, which I still hear. It's like, no, this is not how we function anymore. But you still get it.
You have to evolve to a certain extent where everybody on the team, everybody in the office, everybody in the organization knows how to do 5, 6, 7 things. But from what this person was referencing in this fakeness, sometimes it's just not a good vibe. And for me, historically, the best working environments and want to give 200% and actually give a fuck is when there is that happy, dysfunctional, mutual respect where, hey, guess what? This person, you know what? They don't come in at 8 a.m. every morning. They come in at like 8:37, maybe 8:42. But once they get in the building, I know they're going to bust their ass and they're going to make this company better. And if you can never get through that, you are limiting what you're going to get from your colleagues and overall enjoyment at your job, no matter how long you're there or how much you evolve or not.
Yeah. No, I completely agree. And punctuality is an interesting thing. What is your attitude on punctuality, on someone showing up at an expected time, not an assumed time, not a suggested time, or just kind of an open window of, yeah, you can come in whenever, but when it's expected, you're to be here at 8 a.m. or whatever the timestamp is, and they really still kind of take it as, well, I'll get there when I get there.
If there's a reason and you're talking to someone similar to the lukewarm coffee reference, it's a relative term. Growing up, my mom, I can picture back picking me up from school or wherever. She was the, I will be here by this time. And then you can add about 15 minutes.
What is that? Which
I'm not in my sixth grade yearbook class photo. Oh, because maybe we showed up late to school that morning. But that's okay. My therapist says don't talk about it. In any event, it's a situation where if there is something pertinent, if there is a meeting, if there is, again, a reason to be at your job to accomplish, I'm all about it. It shows disrespect. It shows you don't give a crap if you don't. But if it's just to be there because your boss is really giddy about time and he says, be here now. And jump, and you have to ask how high? Well, quite honestly, fuck off.
And the thing is, I understand that when there's like really no extended reason for being there at X time, you need to be there within a window within that sort of a situation. But it's like, if you're the one who's doling out the money to the individual, and I'm paying you for that 15 minutes or half hour or whatever it may be, I'm not going to pay you for it if you haven't shown up. And I'm not going to, just because you're there or you got there later and then you want to stay later, because then that usually involves, oh, then someone else has to stay later if that's how the system functions. It's like there's a level of narcissism. All roads lead to narcissism when it comes to a lot of these things, I think, where it's just where people view their importance much higher than everyone else's, and consequences be damned. But I don't think it even goes down that road of thinking of how is this going to affect other people. It's just, it's like stuck. It's stuck in one gear of how is this going to affect me? And if I want to go and pick up breakfast and that drive-through lane is looking like it's going to take 20 minutes and that's going to make me 20 minutes late. But if I don't eat, then I'm not going to perform well. So I'm going to get in that lane knowing full well it's going to make me 20 minutes late. Well, then I'm sorry, you should have either figured that out earlier, knowing that that lane is going to be busy at that time of day. You may run into that, so maybe eat something earlier, get up earlier. And if you fucked up and you just can't make it into that lane and you're going to be 20 minutes late and they're depending on you, guess what? Guess who doesn't get breakfast? You. Fucking deal with it.
There was a 10 a.m. meeting, went to the fast food establishment across from work, ordered oatmeal and a coffee, was crazy busy. And time-wise, I knew that I was going to be late for the meeting and I had already paid for breakfast. Do you know what I did? I just left, went to the meeting, went back to said establishment after, said, hey, I already paid for this. Here's my receipt. Can I have it now? They were cool. All was good. But you show the respect for your colleagues. You be dependent. You be respectable. You don't say, well, this meeting has no importance. Fuck it. I'm just going to walk in late.
Yeah.
But it's career dependent. I think if you are an ER doctor, yeah. Okay, doesn't sure. matter. Well, I mean, there's not a lot of patients coming in, so I can just go golf. No. But if you have X amount of tasks to accomplish over an 8-hour day and you're not clocking in or clocking out, you're salaried as a manager, as a leader, I just believe you're going to get that much more out of your colleagues and employees if you have that mutual respect and not on your back and not looking at the clock and micromanaging.
Yeah. I never have understood the look, you need to be here at this time and here is the reason why, and consistently never showing up on time. I had when Harp was really little, we had a nanny that would come in and help with stuff in the morning because we had another one who was a little bit older getting ready for school, and I'm working and Jen was working, and it was craziness. And rather than sending her out somewhere because there really wasn't any places that had an opening for childcare, we had found someone through one of those websites that could come in and take care in the morning for a couple hours. And it was fairly pertinent that she showed up on time because of how our mornings function. It gets down to like, you know, a couple minute windows to get this done or that done. And every day it was 15 minutes late, 20 minutes late, sometimes on time, sometimes way the fuck off. And I'm not a confrontational person, but it was like, look, I really need you to be here on time. And I never threatened, like, I'm going to fire you if you don't. But after like seven times of saying, please, I need you to be here. And I didn't really have any repercussions. Maybe that's my fault because I didn't do the repercussion route. Eventually, I just said, you're done. What do you mean? Like, I can't rely on you. And then it was, oh, you're an asshole. And I had this excuse and that excuse. It's like, no, there's no excuse. I'm paying you to be here at this time. The purpose of you being here is to make my life easier. That's why I'm paying you my money to help with my life and my kids, and you're creating more problems than you're making, than you're solving. And it was just that, oh, it's everyone else's fault attitude. And I should have known that early on, because when I, you know, you have conversations with some people, it's always immediately, if it's, they're the victim of everything, you just know at some point this shit's going to slowly irk its way into your life too, because there's track records when people cannot be consistent with a job.
And that's a situation where her job is time.
Yeah.
Her job is being there.
That is the job.
To watch your child. Yeah. And hello, you being 15 to 20 minutes late is making my schedule 15 to 20 minutes late. And that is not going to work.
I just feel like no matter what position you're in, no matter what level it is, whether it's entry level, whether it's a small job, whether it's a big job, you're never going to get to that big job, to that one you really want, that you feel you're being cheated out of left and right, if you don't take your job just as serious at a small entry level area, and take those, what's expected of you, as serious at that point, because that's how you're going to climb. That's how you're going to move your way up, is by taking everything seriously and showing how professional you are at something and how dedicated you are. You're never getting that next door to open because you're not there. You're not standing in front of the door. You're way the fuck over in the other part of the room when the employer's like, stand by the door, stand by the door, stand by the door. There's another door here for you. Well, I feel like it's better over in the court. Stand by the fucking door. You know, that's, and then it's a constant cycle of bitching. It's a constant cycle of, woe me, I didn't get what I needed, I didn't get what I want, and someone else took it. Well, guess what? Show that you give a shit about the job and you don't feel like you're too good for the job. And I get it. I've been in positions like that where I felt I was too good for the job, or I felt like I was more qualified for the job than I was given. But you know what? Those are kind of fun times too, because you can uberly exceed at some of those things and be like, holy shit, look how, and you can really excel then, because you can super stand out. It's like when you're a kid and there's different levels of, different, like there's such dramatic differences in how kids play from age to age. And if you are the bigger kid and then you're playing with a little cousin or something, and they're trying to figure out this game or something, you can come in and be the best damn player at that game because you've already done it 1,000 times. And, you know, you're a kid, you're kind of like, look, I'm amazing. And your cousins are like, holy shit, he's great at this game. And it's the most simple thing in the world because you've already done it and you're overly qualified for it. Take that as an opportunity in an employment situation to overly shine and then sometimes use that as a springboard to go even possibly excel beyond the position you're expecting to get because you already showed just how good you can be at said area of employment. Anyway,
the saying of dress for the job,
dress for success.
Extends across the board. Don't look at the 7 or 8 tasks that you have to do in your current job. Don't bitch about this, that, or the other. Pick your time in that job to shine, mm-hmm. and you have the opportunity then to rise above, or at least put yourself in the best position to do so.
Yeah.
And that overall will make possibly you hate your job less. And if at the very least, have your colleagues not hate you.
Yeah, exactly. Or get a good reference out of there to another position you want because you were great at that job that you could master so easily. Let's go to our next story. This is a Karen story. It says, this whole thing takes place a few months ago when I was working an evening shift. While I'm on register, this Karen comes up with a few items. Karen's probably in her 50s with dyed black hair and eyes that hate the world. I'm processing her items as she asks and says, hey, do you think that piece of furniture out there will fit in my vehicle? It's that black one over there with the drawers. I drive an Acadia, and that's just so helpful. There are over 100 pieces of furniture out there, and at least 20 are black, and more than one has drawers. It doesn't help that I had a pillar and other furniture obstructing my view when I cannot leave my register while I'm signed on or when a transaction is being processed. So, not knowing the dimensions of the furniture and not knowing what the hell an Acadia is, I just decided to be safe and say that I personally do not know if that piece would fit in her vehicle and explain why. Well, guess what? She's not happy with my answer, and she huffs. And she sees one of my managers walk by and says, oh, well, he looks like he would know. I admittedly freeze and repeat what I said. Yes, I know I screwed up at that moment, but I don't feel nearly as bad considering the rest of the story. I don't remember what form of payment she used for this transaction, but I'm certain it wasn't a check. I'll leave my register to work on some other projects since the lines are non-existent at that moment, but I notice that this Karen is still shopping at the front. Must have put her bags in the vehicle, and she's doing some more shopping. 20 minutes later, I get called up to the front for a furniture carryout, and sure enough, when I get there, Karen is buying that piece of furniture with a check. I stand near the register waiting to ensure the payment of about $180 or so was given, and then I let Karen point me to which piece it was. It's at most a 1.5 foot by 1.5 foot by 5 foot cabinet of drawers on wheels. Pretty small. I don't even need my two-wheeler, so I leave it behind. I ask Karen to pull her vehicle up to the doors, and I'll load the piece into her vehicle. She pulls up, I wheel the piece out, and as I'm lifting it up, she suddenly says, "It's cracked!" I pause and look closely, and yeah, it is. It's a thin 1.5-inch long streak in the wood where it must have been warped or scraped somehow. Considering it as a blemish and her reaction, I set the piece down and ask, I take it you don't want it anymore? And she just says, well, of course not. It's cracked. It's defective. It's broken. It shouldn't have been on the floor in the first place. Do you guys have any kind of quality control here? We head back inside to the register where they purchase the item. Now, policy states that we cannot do refunds for check purchases within 10 days of the purchase. This is done to allow the banks enough time to process the check. The cashier states this. Karen gets pissed. Cashier calls for a manager. The assistant manager comes up. Karen is still pissed. The assistant manager is still new at the whole assistant manager thing, so she calls the store manager up. This is where it gets fun. Karen's ranting about quality control on the blemish and says she would only pay $50 for it at most. Remember, this piece was sold to her for $180, which is already a 30% discount on the original price. And she's saying a small scratch on the side of the piece justifies it being marked down that much. She says she wants it for $50 or she wants her check back. When she says this, the cashier and I just look wide-eyed at each other, silently saying, is she fucking serious? There's no way the store manager is going to let that slide. And sure enough, he didn't. I was walking away to work on other stuff since I wasn't needed, but I still heard my SM being short with Karen. making a one-time exception and giving her her check back after he saw her ID to ensure it was actually her. Apparently, she called the store the next day to complain some more, saying she waited 45 minutes before someone showed up to get help on the furniture out to the car. Ah, no, I was right there waiting for the transaction to complete. Store manager even confirmed that on the security cameras. And the best part? A different customer bought the same piece of furniture for $180 later that week and had no issues with it. Do people not have anything better to do with their lives? It was very weird. It was a time that I'm glad I was able to get out of work early. So there you go. Someone who's not quite happy, but then wants the discount. You got to wonder sometimes if the individual scouts out pieces like that sometimes, and then knowing last minute, oh, maybe I can, throw some sort of ratchet in this transaction and then get it at a massive discount rather than just pointing it out at the beginning saying, hey, this is, it's scratch and dent. Can I get a better discount on it? Just throwing it out there rather than try to rig the system for an even better jackpot.
Would you?
If there's a scratch and dent item at a store, I'll bring it up. If I'm interested in it, I'll certainly ask and say, hey, I'm really interested in this. And usually I'm interested in it before I even notice the scratch or dent on it. But then when I see the scratch or dent, yeah, I think it's justified to say, I'd like it, but I think it's not fair that I'm paying full price on it. If there's no option, I'll wait for you to order one that's not damaged, and I'll take that one at full price. Or I will take your floor model off hand for you and at a lower price, which eventually they're going to have to sell anyhow, for the most part, at a lower price, and not have to have them go through discounting hell on it for a reasonable discount, not like 50, where it's more than half off. You want to take 20, 30 bucks off of it if it's not some sort of major blemish. I think that's fair.
I think it's very difficult for people that have not worked in a retail or service industry job to not be a complete and utter asshole. Because here's the thing, and I'm not being defensive for them.
Yeah.
I'm basically just stating the fact that they are completely ignorant. If you have never been in a situation where you have had to not be fake, because if you are in a retail job and you are dealing with somebody who is pissy and they sense you're being fake, or even worse, you're mocking them with mm-hmm. that fake smile and cackle and what have you, you literally should just put gas on a fire. You are fucked. But if you're going to be genuine and you have to genuinely act as though you care about their concerns, which are absolutely ludicrous. Hi, this was fucking scratched when you saw it on the floor. Mm-hmm. Now I'm breaking my back to put it in your fucking Acadia. You have to go through that. If you've never experienced that, you don't know you're being a complete douche.
Yeah. But
if you've had that job, no matter how many years go by, or I'd like to think how much money you make, you will never be a dick. Because you will have those memories and you will realize that this person who is helping you is making minimum wage, if not less. And by you being a bitch to them, it is not going to help anything and just make their day absolute shit.
Sure.
So what I'm insinuating is, if you have been lucky enough to not ever work waiting tables or in the retail industry, Wikipedia or Google some horror stories, or by you listening to Tony and I, next time you go out and get your sectional and you notice a stain on the cushion, don't be a fucking asshole to Karen who's helping you load it into your Acadia.
I think that's a good lesson to live by when you're dealing with that situation. What was the stain, by the way? Was it, did somebody get busy on the couch?
Funny, because it was sample Saturday. It was sample Saturday. And it was orange juice.
Oh, there you go. Well, that's better than semen.
Hey, but it was 60% off.
Does the discount change depending on the substance that is the stain? It's like, I brought my stain detection kit here, and this bar chart over here says that if it's semen, it's 75% off on Sundays.
Really, off. At mattress stores, people lay down, they test it out. Oh, how's this going to feel? Mm-hmm. We're just testing out the sectional. clearly we were going to fornicate on it once we purchased it. So we just wanted to confirm that it felt good.
True story. Years ago, about 20 years ago, when I was doing afternoon radio on a rock station, it was my first station. I would do this bit. This is prior to Crank Yankers and all that. I mean, it's a prank call bit, but I want to say, I mean, not that anybody copied me on it, but it was not that common to have these things out there. There wasn't YouTube channels about it because YouTube didn't exist. So I would every now and then do a, it was called at the time, this is pre-9/11. This is like 98. The word terrorism was used in a lighter sense. If you could use the word terrorism in a lighter sense. You know, so a different place in time, but the bit was called Tony's Touchtone Terrorism. Obviously, insane title. You would never use it today. Different place in time when that title was used. What I did was I had called a mattress store and I said, my name is Jay Steele and I'm a director of adult films. And I think I have the audio somewhere on the internet. I think it's on YouTube somewhere. I found it several years ago on a reel and I revived it. Anyway, the gist of it was I was a porn director and I was trying to convince this mattress store salesman that I really wanted to come in there and get a mattress, but I didn't have much time. So I needed the mattress salesman to jump on the bed for me on the phone. This is on a corded phone. So I could hear how firm the bed was because we keep going through these beds and we need something that's going to be more firm. This is all delivered in the words of Jay Steele. And I shit you not, cause I have the audio and I could find it and play it. I'll see if I can find it while we're talking. This guy, he goes and jumps on the bed and I'm encouraging him to make sexual noises. Like, that sounds good. Yeah. And he's jumping on the bed and he's making the noises. And then I ask him if he'd be interested in starring in an upcoming video that we have that we're looking to put out. And he says to me, he's like, wow. Well, no one's ever asked me that before. Oh, wait, no, they have. Oh, wait, no, they have. And I was like, oh, my God. I'm just seeing if I can find this online. I don't know what it would be. It's not coming up on anything that I can think of. And if I can find it, I'll play it on another episode. But that's exactly what happened. And it was like a 3-minute bit, but that was the gist of it. The lengths that this gentleman went to try and sell me that mattress was unbelievable.
Jay Steele, do you have copyright on that or patent?
I don't know. I know I don't, but it probably is a real name, I'm guessing, in that industry. But
the great thing is, as much as it took you about, 27 seconds to come up with that bit or yeah. that call, you made that guy's day, week. You may look back on it in that 4 months that he worked at that mattress store as a highlight.
I would love to reconnect with some of these people all these years later and see if they remember the bits, you know? Because I don't think a lot of them realized they were on the radio because I didn't tell them either. That was again, pre-internet. No one was going to be able to track this stuff. There was no streaming of radio stations. This didn't exist. Different atmosphere. And so I would, to avoid being caught doing this, I would call places out of state or far out of the listening area. And so, I mean, there's plenty of people who just think these were like real, legit people. We're calling them. They're no idea. Until like maybe, you know, 30 years later, they're going online and they come across the bit, you know.
Wait a minute. That sounds like where did that come from?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So anyway, good times back in the days of radio. That's going to wrap up the program for today. If you like the show, give us a review over there on Apple Podcasts. Send me a screenshot of it. Send it to Tony at OfficeHorrorStories.com. We'll get you in the drawing for that $100 gift card. Pick one winner every month and give you the title of Employee of the Month, as well as that gift card. Until next time, for Sean, I'm Tony. Thanks for listening to Office Horror Stories.